Blog Talk Radio.
I'm Cindy Sansone-Brath, author of Grant Me a Higher Love and Why Good People Can't Leave Bad Relationships. I'm a woman on a mission, and that mission is to have you and everyone else have the best love life possible in this new millennium. But before this can happen, you're going to have to learn a few new tricks. Joining me tonight, as always, is my co-host and producer, Nicole. She's a beautiful young woman, a writer, an entrepreneur, and a lesbian, not necessarily in that order, and she's here to share her love stories and her war stories with us. She's the voice that will make all of us women stop blaming everything on the opposite sex, since Nicole and those women are making some of the same kinds of mistakes in their relationships with each other. Well, hello, Nicole. I'm so glad to speak to you this week. It was not our fault what happened while we weren't logged on, and, of course, I haven't gotten an explanation from Blog Talk Radio yet. So I'm glad you can have the screenshot from last week, because I will just...
Oh, yes.
You know, send it to them, because I have no idea why we couldn't do a show. And I got so many emails from people like, we're trying to log on. What happened? And people saying, well, we missed the show. We hope it's on. So, yeah, we're back on the air. And it was a little scary to me, since they don't know what happened. I'm like, I logged on at like 6 o'clock today and kept looking and like, is it up? Is it up? You know, we didn't lose it yet, right? It's here. So, yes, we're up and live and wonderful, but we won't have a show next week. I just realized it's 4th of July next Thursday. I didn't even realize that.
It is.
I didn't realize it until I went to, like, write the show up for next week, and I said, oh, no, we won't be doing our show on the 4th of July. It's our Independence Day from work.
Woo!
But we will be back on July 11th, so that's a good day, the 11th.
Yay.
And I'm very excited about it, and I was a little sad before I went on the show. I don't know if you've seen the news story yet. I didn't see it at all. It just popped up on my Twitter feed, is that a woman in Medford left her twin daughters in a car, 2 years old, and they both died, the little girls. So I'm sure it's from heat. I didn't read the article. So please don't leave your pets or your children in a car. It doesn't seem like something we should have to tell people. You know, we would think they would know that. But... you know, that's just a story that just popped up, so I don't really know the rest of it. So please be careful. It's, you know, it gets hot. People forget, like, we haven't had such hot weather, so no, it's getting hot. And a car gets really, really, really hot. So
that
is sad. It's terrible news.
Well, you know what? I mean, I actually saw a video on this. It was pertaining to animals. I mean, it's terrible that this happened to humans. It's terrible when it happens to anybody. But what this veterinarian did was he shot a video, and the video is someplace on Facebook. You can actually look it up. And what he did was he locked himself in a hot car, and he cracked the windows open an inch, because some people think that if you leave your pet in the car, as long as you are, or your children for that matter, that as long as you leave the windows cracked, that it's fine. All right. And what he did was, he was in a regular sized, you know, mid-sized vehicle, and he cracked the windows each an inch. So all four windows opened, you know, at least 1 inch, you know, give or take, because he kind of eyeballed it. And what people don't realize is that it's not just a matter of having ventilation in the car. There is something called the greenhouse effect, when you have all of this glass and the sun beaming through that glass, okay? And what that greenhouse effect does is that the temperatures in the car, you know, outside of the vehicle, might be about 80 degrees outside. So you're not thinking that the car itself is going to ever exceed 80 degrees, especially with the windows open. That is not the case. What winds up happening is that because of the greenhouse effect, your car can go upwards of 113 degrees with the windows opened a crack, you know, and this is over a period, I believe, of about 15 minutes in the car. And the temperature, and he showed the thermometer in the car, the temperature gauge on the thermometer started rising within the first 5 minutes. So in 80 degrees outside, in the first 5 minutes, he was up to 85. You know, within 8 minutes, he was already up to 90. And by the time 15, 20 minutes hit, he was, you know, well over 100 degrees and in the 100 teens. So please be aware of those things. And I think that it is, you know, somewhat of ignorance because people figure, oh, you know what, it's not that hot outside, you know, or they figured, oh, but I left the windows open. The greenhouse effect is what is the dangerous piece of that, even if you do keep the window slightly ajar. You know, you need to be aware of that because you need to know that inside the vehicle can become about 25 to 30% higher than the degrees outside.
Wow, it's terrible. It's terrible. Now, I'm not even sure. I'm just looking at trying to look up the news story. They don't know if she killed these children. They were in cardiac arrest. So it might even be worse than leaving them stupidly in the heat. So I'm not sure. They're not even sure. But just a warning on, you know, don't leave your animals or your children in a car. This looks like they don't
know. I just pulled it up on Newsday. What it says is 2 twin-year-old girls were pronounced dead Thursday afternoon, and their mother is in police custody after the girls were discovered in cardiac arrest in a car at Montauk Park. Police found the mother's vehicle where, following a 911 call to police in Medford about a possibly suicidal woman that triggered a massive search. Following an extensive search that spanned from Medford to Montauk for a Medford woman and her 2 twin girls, police located the woman's vehicle in Montauk Park. The girls were in cardiac arrest and taken to Stony Brook Southampton Hospital, where they were pronounced dead. The mother was taken into custody from the scene on the grounds of Montauk County Park, the former Theodore Roosevelt County Park. The mother was not identified on Thursday afternoon. It is unclear whether she had retained an attorney. Suffolk Homicide Squad detectives are currently investigating. So there we go.
Wow, so we don't know, but oh my God.
It appears that if she was suicidal, she may have wanted to kill her children and then take her own life. And because people intervened, she was unable to complete that plan. So clearly she's a very sick woman. And
Oh my goodness, what a horrible story. Well, anyway, we heed our warning. If it's hot, don't leave anything in the car, like dogs or children. And who knows? What a horrible story! Just a horrible story. And I guess by tomorrow we'll know the truth. But a little prayers for those little babies. So sad. So sad.
Yeah. God bless them.
Oh my! It's always so upsetting. You know, so upsetting. I was hoping that's how, but I wouldn't even think that she killed her daughter. I don't even want to go there. I don't even want to go there. Horrifying. Well, we do have someone who's pressed one. We do have some other people who might want to talk to us. It's a beautiful day, so I'm hoping people are enjoying the nice weather that we have.
Yes.
So why don't you pick up the 215? We haven't screened this person yet, but let's see what this person might have on.
All right. Please don't be crazy. Or be our kind of crazy, at least. So, yeah, just be our kind of crazy. You can be crazy as long as it's our kind of crazy.
Good crazy.
All right. So we are going to go out. And remember, guys, if you want to speak to either myself or Cindy, please press the number 1 so that I could take you into our chat room. In the meantime, we are going to go out to a person whose last 4 digits are 2323. So that this way you can identify yourself once I say those lovely words. Hello, you are on the air.
Hi there, ladies. I am not crazy, so no worries.
You sound delightful. We love you. You have a great voice filled with energy and laughter. I love
it. Well, thank you. We've talked before, so. My first name is Linda.
Hi, Linda.
How are you, ladies?
Good. And where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Philadelphia.
That's what I thought. I thought you were like, okay. Yes, I thought you were a Pennsylvania girl. Okay.
Yes, I am. Well, I'm really a New York, Long Island girl, but I moved to Pennsylvania. So you feel my soul, huh? My New York soul.
You've got a Long Island sense of humor, that's for sure. So, you know, and Long Islanders laugh a lot. So I'm so glad you called it. You must have something on your mind.
I do. I recently put a property up for sale, and I'm not sure what's going to happen, so I thought maybe you could tell me a little bit about it. I mean, will it sell, and when, and will it be smooth and profitable? So I don't know if you could pick up anything on that.
Sure. It looks like it's
going to sell. It might take a little longer than you wanted it to, but do you have a certain price in mind and you're not going to go for less?
Well, I have a certain price in mind, but, you know, I'm losing money every day that it doesn't sell. So, you know, it comes to a point where you go, okay, I'm not getting my price, but I'm losing money every month it doesn't sell. So I know I'm going to have to, like, negotiate, but I just wanted to know, is it going to be a major loss? Is it going to be kind of fair? Or I just don't know if you know the timing.
Well, it looks like it's not as fast as you want, and it's, you know, it looks like a loss, but not a total devastation loss by any means.
Okay.
Probably the relief of you getting rid of this, like, and not having the expense of it will be worth it to you. But,
okay.
Yeah, it looks, give it maybe 3 months.
Okay.
Know, to sell. Your dad has passed away, by the way?
Yes, he has.
But he's the one that told me he's trying to get someone to buy it, okay? So
okay.
He ask your dad. Dad, you know, come on, put some thoughts in people's heads a little bit, Dad. Get them come see it, please. Because
okay.
He seems
okay.
to be the one that's in charge of this particular project, okay? You selling it.
Okay. I've been
you
praying to St.
You
Joseph.
Meet your dad at all because he's like, I'm trying.
Is it you know, there comes a point where you say, well, should I sell it or should I try to, you know, hold on to it and rent it? And so I'm you know, if it takes a while, I don't know, should I reconsider or do you think selling
well,
it for that?
Well, what your dad said is give me 3 months.
Okay.
And because he knows it's too stressful for you to keep.
Okay.
And you know, renting is okay, except, you know, that has its own problems, too.
Yes,
and
it does.
He would rather, he doesn't want you to be stressed out, okay?
Okay.
But
okay.
I like the way that he said, I'm in charge of this. I'm like, okay, good. You're in charge of it. I feel pretty. I was like, somebody help me out up here.
You know, I buried a St. Joseph statue, and I've been praying to St. Joseph every night, but I'll pray to my dad, too. So that's
yeah,
good.
He went like this. The hell with St. Joseph. He's a busy guy. I'm the broker from heaven for that property, not St. Joseph. Ask me. You know, everybody asks St. Joseph, but your father's very funny. He's a very funny man. He's just like, if she would just know how hard I'm going to try. And I believe in him and I trust in him. So
okay, thank you.
No,
thank
he
you
just
so
doesn't
very...
want you to worry, and he wishes he were here on Earth, by the way, to help you.
Thank you. Thank you.
That kind of man that would help you, and you know, it's not easy. But your dad says, you know, it's time to get rid of the property.
Okay. Perfect. Perfect. I am in agreement with that. I just wanted to hear it. That's great. That's
and
great.
Also, he asked me to ask you, so how are you? He said to me.
Well, you know, it's funny. My dad, before he died, he kept saying, I just want to see you get married. You need to get married. And, like, I don't know, maybe he should help me with that, too.
Okay, that's what he wants. He said he'd be resting a lot more in peace if you were married. So let's see. Let's get rid of it. Okay, Dad, get rid of this property, please. And and maybe the person who's going to buy it or someone involved with this could be the guy she could fall in love with. Let's see if we can't get one stone, Dad. He promises to help you. And, you know, again, it's time for you to fall in love. He wants you to be in love and with the person worthy of you.
Okay. Do you see that happening?
Yeah, you've got a lot of good changes in your cards.
Oh, good.
I mean, you actually have interesting cards that this is, you know, it's almost like you have to let go of everything from the past, including this property, and kind of go forward in your life.
Okay.
So, you know, get rid of things that are not, you know, really serving your higher good at this point. And, I got the husband card, so your father wants that for sure.
Okay. Excellent. Mm-hmm.
Is your dad Italian, by the way?
Yes, he was.
Well, because he
was...
just gave me the one-eyed wink. I'm only half Italian, so I don't get a double-eyed wink. I just get this, like, one-eyed wink, and he's like,
don't worry, I'm going to help. And, you know, he loves you very much. Did you love him very much? Because he really loves you.
Well, he was a policeman. He was a volunteer fireman. He was never home, and he and my mom didn't get along. And so the family structure was really strained, and my mom and I were very close. So he and I didn't get close because he was kind of like the guy that was causing my mom pain, you know? So, no, we didn't get close, but maybe he's trying to make up for it.
Well, he's also saying, oh, I did work. You know, he goes, I wasn't out in the bars. I was working.
I know.
I loved you by bringing money home and helping. And, you know, he's a very charismatic guy from the other side.
He had a wonderful, he was very personable, very outgoing,
funny.
Energetic, very, you know, a womanizer, you know, he had all that going on, you know.
Oh, yeah. And, yeah. That goes with being, you know, the territory you said, but, you know, forgive him the man, not all of his actions, but he's under obligation to undo some of the mess that he created in your life. In other words, you haven't always picked the best men. Sometimes we're still trying to fix daddy. And at this point, he's under obligation to bring you a really good man when it doesn't
okay.
need fixing. And then he'll move up a notch or two on the other side, and he'll be happier. Do you know who Frank was?
Frank was a guy I dated 5 years from high school into my first couple of years of college.
So your dad knew him or knew of him?
My dad didn't know him. Not well, but he knew he was the guy I was dating.
Uh-huh. And was Frank a decent guy?
Frank was very nice to me, but he had another personality. He also was a major womanizer and a bad boy,
He said, you see, you kept picking men like your dad.
I did, and I don't want to, trust me.
And he goes, no more. He said to me, no more Franks, okay?
Okay. You know what, that's funny. He's really the only guy he knew. He didn't really know my husband very well either. And my husband and I got divorced after 3 years, so I've been on my own since I'm 27. But he knew Frank more, and Frank was a partier, and I would cry, like, how come he doesn't want to see me? He'd go, let him be free. Let him be free, he'd say to me. He would stick up for him.
Of course, because that's the brotherhood of men. So now that he's under obligation to make sure you don't pick a man of the brotherhood, you pick one.
Okay. I'm trying to stay away from the brotherhood. I've had too many of the brotherhood.
And he said, no more of that, and he promises that it's not like he can pick a soulmate from like a billion souls on earth, because he wouldn't really know who the hell to pick, he said to me. I wouldn't know who the hell to pick, okay? But there are four soulmates that are available for you. Three or
okay.
four. And he picks the one that he thinks is best for you, a very loyal, trustworthy, hardworking, good man.
Okay.
Where there won't be a lot of drama. And
okay.
so he's, you know, he had loved your mom once upon a time. That's why his womanizing was so painful to her. It wasn't like she didn't love your dad. She had loved him very much. And
I know.
And it hurts when someone you love is a cheater. So, you know, he just did what, you know, he thought men were supposed to do.
He was a little boy, you know.
Okay. But he's now a really, he's trying to be a better father on the other side than he was on earth. Okay, so. You know, ask him for help. He likes to help you. And, you know, he's actually very nice to me. He thanked me for, he started to cry a bit at this moment, you know, like he could have been a better father. But in the history of the world, he wasn't the worst father, okay?
He wasn't. I mean,
he worked, he put food on the table. But
exactly.
But it just wasn't a happy family life that you would have wanted. And, he would like you to have that now, a man who's going to bring you a feeling that you have a happy family life. And, you know, that's all you can ask for. And he is, you know, sorry, and he's trying as hard as he can to make amends for things he could have done better. And he said, karma's a bitch, so we've had to answer to God for all this. So don't think he got away scot-free. No, I know he didn't, because I know, you know, it's funny, like about a month before, he never called me ever, you know, and about a month before he passed, he left a message and he said, "Hi, I just wanted to call and tell you I love you." And then he died. So it was, I know it was pressing on him that he didn't do the right thing. I reminded him of my mother, so he couldn't really get close to me because me and my mom were so close. But my mom used to confide in me, and I think I knew too much. You know what I mean?
Right.
So, exactly. But it was true. It wasn't like she made this stuff up. So I could see where he probably, as he passed, probably grew up a little and realized, you know, what he thought was important, mostly ego and all that stuff, really wasn't where he should have been. So
exactly. And also, remember, he doesn't have a body. So his womanizing is not there. If he were to come back to Earth tomorrow, he'd be a womanizer. He started laughing. I go, yeah, you need to stay up there about 50 years, buddy, to burn that off. Okay, so remember, they're better when they don't have a body. They don't have addictions. They're not, you know, everything is supremely better.
Oh, that's good to hear.
He's been a womanizer in many, many lifetimes. That's not a new story for him. So we'll hope in another lifetime it'll be different. But you said something interesting. A month before he died, he called to say he loved you. Anybody, be aware when someone that you know, haven't spoken to a while, or if there's an estranged relationship between you, and they call to say I love you, they're dying. You know?
Right.
Did you sense that he might have been dying at that point?
No, because he was healthy. He just had a heart attack, a sudden heart attack, and so it was a surprise. It was a total surprise to everyone, including himself, because he was a very fit, thin man, and you know, I think because of that, he thought he could do. You know, he was skydiving when he was 70. You know what I mean? He was just a daredevil, you know. So, you know, there was nothing that was like, oh wow, you know, I should really start paying attention. You know, he really was physically fit and active.
But he must have had some guidance. He must have had some, even if they don't consciously know it.
Right.
When those calls come, and I know my brother called about a month before he died, and he called my other brother and I instinctively knew he was dying. Okay, but I didn't want to know it, and I pushed it behind in my thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
But
mm-hmm.
It's like, it was unusual for him to call both of us out of the blue. Do you know what I mean?
Sure,
so
sure.
It's like they have some inner knowing or something.
Right. Right.
Now, who knows? It could have been his mom telling him to call you, someone from the other side, you know.
Right.
And they might not know why they're doing it, but it's some ways to make some amends while they're still on Earth. Because, like, for your dad, it was making some amends on Earth that actually helped him go to a little bit of better realm.
Because he had
tried to make it on Earth to you.
Yeah.
Even if he wasn't sure why.
He would be the kind of guy that, you know, I would call him and I'd say, "Hi, Dad, how are you?" He'd be, "Fine, how are you? What's new?" "Nothing. What's new with you, Dad?" "Oh, nothing." "Okay, take care. That was all conversations, you know. So it was like, well, you couldn't even try to get, you know, you get to know him. But
now he talks up a storm now.
Oh, well, I'm sure.
Okay. He's talking up a storm, and he told me he likes me, which I thought was nice. He goes, "I like you. You're funny." If you thought you were calling just about the property, but your dad really needed to have a conversation with you.
Oh, I'm happy. You know what? This is the best phone call I've made. Thank you so much.
He couldn't wait to tell you. And he's like, "Cindy, I'm going to do you a favor." I go, "Okay, good. Whatever you can do, do."
No, because I really think that, a woman's life is so much affected by her father, and I never felt like I had a father. So I feel like my problems with men have probably been because I didn't have a relationship with my father. Like, I was never daddy's little girl. I was always on my own and doing the best I could on my own with no acknowledgement from him whatsoever. I was a good kid, and I was, you know, good student, and I did all the right things, but I never had a father, you know? So, you know, I'm happy to hear that he realizes that he needs to make amends.
He said you were a very, very good daughter. And
aww.
And again, in the history of fatherhood,
He's a very typical father. He's not a bad father. He didn't beat you excessively, burn you, molest
no.
you. Loved
no,
you
and nothing like
you.
That.
I mean, he went to work and he womanized. That's what men historically did, okay? I mean,
exactly.
It wasn't that he was the worst of men. And if he could do it all again, he's living in the realm of I woulda, coulda, shoulda done better. I woulda,
okay.
coulda, shoulda. And now he knows you. Imagine he really didn't know his own daughter on earth. And now he gets to know her by watching over and observing, and he realizes what he missed out on. Okay, so with that knowledge, he would hope this would heal some of your what you need to heal, and to stop picking men like your father, the unfixables, the narcissists that are not always accountable for their behaviors, and allow a good man in your life. And
excellent.
So that's what's here. So
okay.
keep us posted because, you know, I'm so glad your dad came through because he really is a nice man from the other side. And, you know, again, he was very sincere. They sometimes say they're sorry, but they're not. Okay. And
Right.
They're full of shit. They're not sorry. Okay. And, you know, they get mad at me. They start cursing me out from the other side. Like, you're supposed to say what we say. I go, no, I'm supposed to tell, you know, if you're sincere or not. And in his case, he was sincerely, he was very sincere. And,
well, he was a changed man, you know, when at his funeral, he had remarried and she had children. And at his funeral, his children were talking about how great he was. And he'd come home and have lunch with them and talk to them. My brother, sister, and I looked at each other, and we said, who are they talking about? Like, it was like we didn't know him like that at all. He became, I think he was broken. You know, my parents got divorced, and then, you know, I think he went through some changes. And so I could see that he'd be sorry because I think when he was a different father to her children than he was to us.
Wow,
so,
and that's interesting because when I do readings, like some people will say, oh, we want to be all read together as a family. And one family said that to me, and they were an Italian family. And I heard the dead father go, no way in hell are you reading them all together. Okay, you're reading them each separately. And so I said, okay, it's what he wants. The first child he was a wonderful father to. The other child he was such a son of a bitch to, it wasn't even funny. The third child he was kind of okay. And then, you know, to his wife, he's sorry about all the cheating. And she went like this, mm-hmm. Did he tell the kids about the cheating? And I was like, no. That's why he wanted each person different. But
mm-hmm.
I would have thought I was talking to four different people.
Wow.
Man was four different people to all of those people.
Isn't
okay.
that interesting? Oh, my goodness.
So even in a family that's intact, one person has a different perception.
Relationship.
Also, siblings also rewrite history. One child remembers the father as being a crazy lunatic beating them, and the other one thinks the father was a saint. Like, and they're only a year apart. Like, how did one see it one way and the other sees it the other way? Sometimes people rewrite history, too. So
right.
They don't always perceive it correctly. So, yeah, he was a better father the second round, for sure.
For sure.
But, you know, and also with families, once you get off on the wrong foot, for some reason, it's really hard to get it on the right foot.
Right.
Again,
right.
It's like really hard. And, you know, oftentimes I'll have clients and, you know, a parent, they had a very strange relationship with his dying. And I'll go, well, go in there and tell your mother that you loved her and thank her for whatever good thing she did. Let the 3-year-old in you mourn for her and then when you leave, you know, let the grown-up remember this, you know, the bastard that she was. But for a minute, you got to, like, let that little child in you mourn. And they go, I can't tell my mother I love her. Like, what am I telling you to tell you? You're going to kill her? Say I love you. I can't say it. It's like, I never said those words. I can't say them now. Like, it just is how hard it is for people to say I love you and family members when there's been, like, those
hurt.
Differences and those hurts.
Right.
And,
it's
you know,
the hurt.
And know that your dad is saying he loves you, and he says, till we meet again, and, you know, let him tell dad, you want to make amends and get that property sold and bring me that soulmate, and all's forgiven. Okay.
That's the deal.
That's the deal. All forgiven. And let us know what happens. And thank you so much for sharing your story and allowing your dad to come through.
Thank you so much for talking to me tonight because I needed this more than anything. Thank you.
Oh, you're so welcome. Good luck to you.
Thank you. Bye. Bye, Nicole.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Now, we do have listeners, but nobody's pressing one. If anyone would like to talk
nobody's
to us, we would
one.
Love
nobody
it.
Nobody wants to talk to us.
I know, because, like, wow, you know, we're here, and we'd love to talk to you. Everybody would love to, you know, talk to Nicole. She's so wonderful. So that was interesting to hear her dad come through. You know, that was an interesting reading. And
that was cool.
He was very nice to me, too. Like, I'll tell you, I've been talking to some dead people that aren't so nice lately, you know, so...
Mm-hmm.
They come down. It's interesting with spirit guards, not guides. They have guards around them, okay? And I'm like, oh boy, I know this one. I go, this one's a whammy. They come in with the guards, and they're only permitted to say, I'm sorry. Like, they're not supposed to say anything else, and then they'll start blabbing all this other stuff. And I'm like, you've been told, don't say anything else. You can make it worse. But
oh gosh.
But, you know, you know that they're not good people when they have to be surrounded by guards. Like, they're not trust. They don't trust what they'll say or do. So it's interesting. Mm-hmm. I've been seeing a lot more of that lately than I ever saw in the past. So, you know, you learn something every day when you talk to the dead. Every day. Well, we do have someone. I think it is Karen wants to talk to us. So
Karen just pressed number one.
Okay, you see, if you call in enough times, we know your number, okay? We got your number.
Yeah,
here.
Now you're screwed.
Now you're screwed. We know who
we'll
you are. You
find
can't
you anyway.
Mm-hmm. So let's see what Karen
Hello,
might
Karen. Hi, guys. How are you guys today?
Good, Karen.
How
we
are
miss
you?
You. How are you?
Good. Everything's good. I just finished school. I'm off for the summer.
Oh, you're so lucky.
I know.
Your school went this late? Because I know. They ended like a week ago or more.
We get our February break off too, so we go an extra week.
Oh, okay. That makes sense. So, what are you going to do with the summer?
Nothing. I'm going to relax and I'm going to read and go to the beach and just catch up on stuff.
Good, 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 good. And
yeah, summer and me.
Summer and you. And how's your son?
Good, good. Everything's good. You know, the call before, I was thinking about, you know, my dad. So I was hoping for any messages. My brother just went through a big operation. So my mom and I were worried about him. But, you know, he's strong and young. So I'm hoping everything went well. So it's just seeing if I had any messages from my dad.
Oh, okay. And you know that your father had to be around him constantly during this.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Totally around him. And he always gives me the grandfather card. He doesn't give me the father card, okay? He's like, you know, he's
no, he
a grandfather,
being a grandfather
too.
Yeah.
He loves
being
his
a grandfather.
Does your brother have children?
Yes.
Because it seems that he's more concerned as a grandfather for, you know, your brother's, you know, children. He wants to make sure your brother's okay, you know, like.
Yes.
That was, like, his concern. You know, it looks good on your brother, for your brother, and your father was definitely kept telling you it'll be okay.
Yeah.
Did you hear a little thought saying it'll be okay?
I did, and I saw a couple of birds. He sent me birds when I was thinking about it. They would just come sit right, you know, near my ledge. The cardinal he's been sending me lately.
Wow.
And there were two of them, too, when I was very worried. So I was like, okay, so it's a double yes. That's both questions.
Right. See, and that's how they let us know. I was just thinking today, and sometimes my daughter just listened to the radio show. When she was born, she was delivered by midwives, and they thought – she had swallowed some meconium, which they, you know, the doctor said, you know, this is pretty lethal. Like, she may not make it through the night. And I wasn't spiritual at the time, but I heard a voice saying, your daughter is fine. She's fine. She will be fine. Now, that's what I held on to. And, of course, she was fine. But the point was, you know, you're hearing doctors telling you this kid isn't going to make it through the night. You should call family and let them know. I was like, I'm not calling them and telling them that. It just didn't seem right. And,
right.
You know, that voice telling us it will all be okay or the person is going to be okay or fine is always coming from dead people. They kind of give us that heads up when we need it. So your dad was certainly surrounding you and giving you that heads up. You know, I'm a little mad at him that you haven't found your soulmate yet. So, like,
you
dad,
know, I
what's
keep
that?
Doing my prayer and I just keep doing my prayer, grant me the higher love, I'm ready. And, you know, I'm hoping this summer being off that, you know, it's my time.
Right, that you, and that's good. That's why I would say, when I asked you, are you going to do anything? maybe, you know, get yourself out there a little bit. There's a lot of, like, summer festivals and, you know, different places and things that don't cost money, like they have free music in the park and, you know, just activities that you would like, but gets you out there. Even if you sign up for some sort of a dance class or yoga or something where you're going to meet some new friends, but get yourself a little bit while you're not working this summer and, you know, do a few things outside of the box.
Right.
That can help you, you know, find. I mean, look, the thing about your, what your dad said is we needed to get you first to where everything was calm and peaceful.
Yeah.
You know, finally, you know, your son is good and your ex is in his place. Let's just put it that way. He's in his place. I'm not even going to say better than that, but he's in his place, okay?
Yeah.
And, you know, your job is nice and secure. All your ducks are in a row for letting that love in.
Yeah,
okay.
I'm very peaceful right now, and it's true, I am.
Right.
I always say I'm ready, but I'm more ready, you know, I am.
Right, you're more peaceful. He's a little worried about your mom. What's with her lately?
Well, I mean, every year is a gift with her. So, you know, she's very worried about my brother. I even got her up to the hospital, and that was, you know, she wanted to see him for herself. You know, my brothers and sisters, we were all there every day. One of us was there, and his wife, of course, but... she didn't believe us. She's like, no, I got to go up. I'm like, all right. I'm like, you're coming up. The first, you know, as soon as she was feeling good, and it was a night. He was in the hospital for over a week and almost a week and a half. And so, she, you know, she had to see it for herself that he was good. But, you know, she is trucking along, but and it's hard for her. She's in pain, and she's strong-willed still, but she's worried about him, and that's really definitely has taken some time off her.
It's taken a toll on her.
It doesn't
matter how old your kids are. You will never stop worrying about them as if they are a baby. And that's how important they are. And, you know, he's crying a tad bit. He doesn't usually cry, but he is crying. He would want to be here, you know, to be the strong one, you know, to be the one that was, you know, giving everybody strength. All he can do is put those thoughts in everybody's head, and he's giving your brother pep talks because it's a lot. He is going through a lot. It's not easy.
Yeah,
you know,
and he needs it. He's a lot like him, but he's, his mind is always going. He's very worried about everything too. And I just keep telling him, you have to be strong. You just have to keep fighting. Your wife needs her husband. Your mother cannot lose a son, and we don't. You know, you have a daughter. You have to be a father. So it's just very hard. I feel like I'm definitely the one right now holding everybody together.
And you're doing what your pep talks to your brother are being, you know, engineered by your father.
I know.
He's the one telling them, give him, you know, because sometimes when people are really sick and really ill, you know, sometimes we don't want this body. We're in pain.
Right.
We don't feel like struggling from all the, that we have to do and all the, you know, all the coming back from this. But, you know, your father said just giving him the reasons why he has to do this is what he needs to hear.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
And I feel like I've calmed him, too. Like, when I've been with him, I've calmed him.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he's scared. He's very scared.
He is, yeah. I would be, too. I wouldn't go through the fight he's doing. It's amazing what he's doing. It's
right,
hard.
Exactly.
And he's young.
Your father keeps, you know, giving him that will to go on and to do it. And, you know, your dad just said, he's saying, you know, wish we could stop anything bad from happening, but you know that's impossible. That's not our job up here. So we can just try to make bad situations bearable and doable. So that's what he's doing. They're just as frustrated up there as we are, by the way. I mean, down here, sometimes, you know, they want to get in there and fix everything, you know, but...
Right.
Of course he can't, and, you know, he wants you to come visit him in the dream plane, please. He would like to just give you a big hug.
Yeah.
Before
I go to bed, I do ask for that. I've been trying. I don't know, maybe now it works over, I'll be able to relax more to do it.
Right.
So
it's what happens. You're oftentimes so tired by the time you finish work. I mean, it's like, I don't think you want to travel anywhere in your sleep. You know what I mean? Just keep me in my bed. And but he gave me the Ace of Cups card, which is falling in love. So let's get that going. And you know, you need someone to be your support system a little bit there for you. And he's very proud of you, but he keeps saying, tell Karen how proud I am of her and that she's a good daughter. And he said your son is easy to watch over. He's a good teenager.
Oh, he's so good. I'm just
he's
so happy.
He's good. That kid is good.
His grades, he scored really high on one of his, the pre-SAT, and that just gave him confidence to bring his scores up. And, I mean, he's always been a good test taker, but the friends that he's with are all smart. They're all scoring well. So he's just putting a little effort into it, and I'm like, oh, wow, there might be real college in the future, you know. But
right.
He doesn't love school, and he's never been a student, but he's always been good at it.
Wow.
And he's starting to find a focus.
He's realizing it's important. And also, you know, you getting a divorce puts a lot of strain on children. They can't focus in school a little bit, you know, even though you tried to do it as much without drama and trauma as you possibly could.
Yeah.
It still takes them a little bit by storm, okay? And, you know, and he was worried about you and worried about his father, worried about everything. Now that all seems to calm down, so you see him, you know, he's going to do great, your father said. He's going to do great.
Yeah.
And he knows he can. So all this is good news, and, you know, there's nothing bad, you know, here. Just your dad said also take a little rest too, okay? You need some rest.
Yeah.
You're tired. I mean, you needed all this excitement at the end of the school year, like a hole in the head with your brother. You know what I mean? Like,
I know, but I'm glad it's over. You know, it's been a long one for him, and it's not over. My brother said this best. He's not even in the woods yet, but this major surgery was over, and at least this part is done, and now he can go to the next, and hopefully, you know, a couple more months, and he'll be clear of everything.
All right, and what it is that if he didn't have his wife and his daughter and you people, he would just have given up. Okay?
Oh, I know. I'm sure.
You know what I mean? And, you know, I get it. You know, sometimes, you know, I don't know if I had a major illness how willing I'd be to battle it so much, okay, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
Okay. I would do it for people I love, but it's sometimes you just – you know, this body can be, when you're in a lot of pain and it's a, you know, it feels like a prison, it can be a lot, you know. That's why, you know, your father's trying to stay by him a lot and telling, you know, let him know it'll get better.
He needs to be able to sleep and calm down. He can't shut off.
Right.
He needs that.
Yeah, right, he can't. And, you know, that worrying doesn't stop, even when, you know, it just is there for people. You know, I've seen a lot of people at the last day on earth, you know, sometimes they ask me to go spend time with these people, and they're worried about the most ridiculous stuff. They're dying.
Right.
And they're worried. I remember when my mother was dying, she was worried because the aide upstairs was taking a shower in the bathroom, was going to get mold in the bathroom. I was like, what? You're dying. How's going to be sold? Who the hell cares? You know, but... it was, she couldn't stop worrying about that. And I think sometimes we pick little things to worry about so we kind of don't focus on what the real issue is. I'm dying and I'm scared. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So with your brother, it's more, he's worried about everybody else. He's worried about money a lot. You know, he worries about money.
Yeah.
And how much this is costing, blah, 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 and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
Like, you know, it's a terrible thing that we have to worry when we're sick about the money of it. Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
But he just worries. And so, you know, keep telling him to relax, turn it over to your father a little bit because he's trying to help.
Yeah.
And you will let us know when this love comes because I'm expecting you, if you get yourself out there and, you know, bring that radar in. And it's the right time now because, you know, sooner than this, I think your ex would have been a pain. So... you know, seems
he definitely would have.
We don't care. We don't care now.
I think he thinks I'm going to retire in 10 years and live with him.
And live with him in his bliss.
In his world.
Yours misery in his bliss, you know. Well, that's a testimony to older souls who are good to a fault. No one ever gets over an older soul because you've done what was right. You were a good wife. You did everything for him. If he had met you like 2% of the way, he'd still have a marriage. He couldn't meet you the 2%. Okay, so
right. No, it's true.
but it's a testimony to nobody ever gets over the good to a fault
right.
people. They want us. Because we would clean up their mess, no matter what mess they make. We're always there cleaning it up and taking care of it. And, you know, it is a testimony that you were a good wife. But your father said he'd have to break both your legs if he even thought about coming back.
Yeah, no, I have no plans of going anywhere near him.
Oh, thank you. Because your father got scared. He was, oh, my God, we don't even want to think about that. Oh,
No. I'm ready to move on.
Well, and I'm so glad. And thank you for, like, letting us know that your son is doing so well, because we've been reading you a few years now. And,
right.
you know, we're through a lot, through your divorce, through everything. And it's always nice to hear how the other side of this, that there is life after divorce. It does settle down, and it doesn't have
he's
to
the one
traumatize
who, And he's the one who told me he didn't want us back together. He was happy that we were going our separate ways for the last time.
Wow.
And I was shocked, because you would think this kid wants their parents together. He's like, no, you guys are happier apart.
Wow. And you see, he was smart. And
mm-hmm.
also, we know your dad was putting some of those thoughts in his head, too.
Yes. Yes, I know.
those wise thoughts.
Those
wise thoughts that come out of kids. And, just promise you'll keep us posted. And,
I will.
You know, we just can't wait to hear, how wonderful your summer is. Nicole, do you have anything to add to Karen, please? Because, we just love Karen and she loves you too.
We're going to your show together, Cindy.
We are going to your show together.
And we need Lisa, because Lisa, knows when to laugh. So, Lisa laughs at everything. So we need Lisa,
Oh, my God. Yeah, no, my wife has got a good sense of humor.
I know. I mean, because in the Beethoven, the first night, people didn't really laugh. There were some jokes in there, but they didn't really laugh. And the second night, Lisa just laughed, and the audience realized there's funny parts in this show, She got the jokes.
It's okay to laugh, people.
But this one, we had the lighting person. She's a wonderful intern, Lauren, and she's from Fairleigh Dickinson University. And she was doing the lighting cues for us, and that was only seeing brief parts of the show where the cues would change. She was laughing so hard when she was doing the cues. We were like, yes, she's laughing, So
aww.
That was a good sign. So I'm so glad you guys are going to go together. What night are you guys coming?
I think the first night we're going.
Yeah, Tuesday.
Tuesday.
Yeah.
Oh,
right?
Okay,
Tuesday.
Good. The opening night.
Yeah, the 9 o'clock.
Oh, great. Opening night. Oh, good. I'm so excited. Wow, that's excellent.
Yep.
And
yeah, we're going to the later one to make sure that my wife could make it, because she should, by that point, she's going to be back with the union working all kinds of crazy hours. So to make sure that she can be present, we went to the later show.
Oh, perfect. Well, that's why it's a theater festival, so I don't pick the times. They gave them to me, but they gave some for earlier or later. So it wasn't such bad times, okay? The only problem for us is that's tech day that starts 9:15 in the morning till 1:30, and then the show is later that night.
Yeah, it's rough.
It's rough. it's a long day. It's a long day. Well, thank you, Karen. I'll see you then at the show.
And I'll talk to you guys soon.
Okay, bye.
See you later, Karen. Bye-bye.
Okay, we have a 347. I don't know who that is, but maybe we will know when it comes through. Okay, that's New York, so let's see who wants to talk to us.
Well,
I'm so glad.
Thankfully, they just pressed, because before when I checked, it was still just Karen with 13 minutes left. So let's
see. Good. That makes us panic, because then we're going to have to start getting out the Ouija board or something and figure out what we're going to do.
Well, it's not only that, guys. It's like,
you're kind of breaking in and out for some reason. I'm not sure what that's about. Are you still there?
Well, then let me get somebody on there. Hello, you're on the air.
I'm here. Hi. Hi,
and who is it? Who's calling in?
My name is Pat.
Hi, Pat. And where are you calling from?
Brooklyn, New York.
Hi, Pat. So what's happening in Brooklyn?
Nothing. Things are quiet. A hot day. I'm at work still. I'm just hanging in there and doing the best I could. I just wanted to – I will schedule a reading with you privately in the near future. But I've been listening to, your show of the other call of her father came through. Been having, problems, my siblings. I offered to go to visit them, and it's like they are like pushing me away, so to speak. My brother's due to have surgery done, which should have been done months ago, but it wasn't because there was other things that arose. But anyway, to make a long story short, I'd like to go and visit him. And it's not like you're not welcome there. I don't know what his problem is. I think he's very depressed. I was just wondering what my parents on the other side have to say in regards to him and my sister's attitude towards me.
Well, first of all, your mom and dad are saying you're a very good sister. Okay.
Thank you.
Above and beyond what they deserve at this point. Your mom started crying because she's worried about your brother and all of that. And, you know, your mom wants you to go visit him. So I hope you're planning on going because she just said you have to go.
Correct. Okay? Yeah.
You have to go. I mean, you know, she thinks once you're there, it'll be okay. She's not that enthusiastic about your other siblings right now. Okay. So focus on your brother. I know your parents really wanted you all to be close. Did you know they wanted you all to be close?
Of course, yes.
And this is a little shocking for them, the way things have gone down. But don't take it personally, because it's not about you. You're a good sister, a very good sister. Your dad, you know, was a very hardworking man. Do you remember that about him?
Yes.
And you know, he's still hardworking on the other side. He says, I try every day to help everybody, to make peace among everybody. You know, and he's, you know, he'll be there, and your mom and dad will be there when you're near your brother. So if you want to feel them, go there. You know, how long are you going to stay?
Well, you know, I have a job, you know, I have the obligations, but I would like to stay for a couple of days. See, the thing is, he was supposed to have this procedure done like months ago, and when they did pre-surgical testing, he's not the type of person to check himself out regularly, let me put it to you that way. So when they did pre-surgical testing, it was like, you know, there was a kidney stone that had to be removed. Yes, the original procedure that he was supposed to have done was never done. That to take care of other things first, which was done, and that's okay at this point. He's kind of depressed, and I would love to visit him. I really would. But it's like, you know, even if I spend 2 days, what's the big deal? You know, I just would like to be there and hang out. And I think they're waiting for this procedure to be scheduled, you know, from the doctors there and whatnot. And I think he's supposed to do his pre-surgical testing this week or next week or whatever. So I would like to connect with him. And with her, she had health issues in the past, which she seems to be in remission. Like, I'd like to ask her some questions because I'm in the health field about, you know, technically how she's feeling and all. I cause her anxiety, and she doesn't want to discuss it with me. And, like, she pushes me aside. And I have not seen her in quite a while. I mean, her son has children I would like to visit. I was very good to her son when he was growing up, you know, with gifts and visiting and this and that. It's like her whole attitude and personality has changed. I don't know if this is a result of her ailment. I don't know what to do with her. Let me put it to you that way. And when my parents were alive, I shouldered, you said, I'm a very good sister. I'm sure they tell you I'm a very good daughter. I was, you know, because I took very good care of my parents, more so than what they did. I mean, so that's why I wanted some thoughts, being that other caller, her dad came through.
That was good. And what your parents are saying with your sister is, you know, don't blame yourself for this. She almost wants to practice denial about her illness. So, you know, if you're in the healthcare and you want to tell her some truth, she may not be wanting to hear any of it, even though, you know, you want to help her.
Right.
So your mom's saying it's probably best if you deal with her, don't bring up her health issues.
Okay. No, but that's what I've been doing. It's
She's
like
in denial, so she wants to be in denial. So if people want to be in denial, then you can't, you know, you can't change that. And,
correct.
You know, but it's sad because you could really help her if she would listen to you. That's the sad
part.
Well,
not only that, you know, like you call up, you try to keep the conversation light. I tell her something that I would think would be funny, something that happened at work, you know, sister things, you know, just general, like even sister girlfriend types of things. Well, I don't care because I don't know these people. You know, it's like you try to make conversation, and it's like you get nowhere with her. And I understood that she tells this to other people, to my brother and his wife, too. So it's like, what do you talk to the girl about? You know, world things? World things are depressing. You know, I mean, I just try to keep it very light and pleasant and, you know, and that's it with her. But I do call her. But if I don't call her, she won't call me. So that's what hurts me, you know. And I didn't see her for Christmas.
And, you know, your parents, if they were alive, you know, this wouldn't be happening. That's
correct.
That's what your father just said. And I think it's very common in America now that when the parents or the people that used to have Christmas or used to do everything are gone, the family tends to fall apart, which is sad. And, you know, your mom is saying it's not about you. It's really about your sister right now. She's very depressed is what I'm seeing here. And
my sister.
Mm-hmm. She's very depressed. And sometimes depressed people don't want to. Their story is I'm depressed and I'm miserable, and they don't want a different story going their way. You know,
mm-hmm.
You know, your mom says, you will never feel bad because you're the one that picks up the phone and you call her. If something happens to your sister, you're not going to, you won't feel like bad about yourself. You'll know you did all you could. So you keep doing, your mom says, you keep being you. If you want to call her, you call her. If she doesn't call you back, well, that's on her. But I don't, your mom's just concerned that you don't feel bad if something happens to your sister that you didn't keep in contact. You know what I'm saying?
Correct.
You, because that's all your mom's only caring about right now, how you'll take it and you'll feel. So your mom says, don't do the wrong thing because your sister's doing the wrong thing. Go on doing the right thing because that's who you are.
Yes.
And your sister will be the kind of person that when she dies again here, I could have, would have, should have loved you better. Sorry. Like, that's the hard part about talking to dead people is that they're given opportunities on earth. And again, it is with family. Sometimes, you know, people just get an attitude. You don't know where it comes from. But your mother is being very honest. She's saying your sister was always a little jealous of you, whether you know it or not.
I can't understand that. She's got the husband in the house, the white picket fence, right? The child.
Right, but, you know, sometimes people envy a single woman's freedom. And, you know what I mean? They envy the freedom. And look, just because you have a husband and kids doesn't mean it's all hunky-dory because family life can be, you know, hard. But
oh, yeah.
She seems to envy your life. And it's the sad part about things because everybody envies each other for whatever, you know, you envy her for her, not in a bad way, but, you know, you wish you had what she had.
Yeah.
But you're a different personality. You're not trying to rain on a parade over it. It just seems like she's a little jealous of you. But your mom says you do what you think is right, okay, and what your parents would want you to do. And your father said he's going to try to scream in her ear that she's being an idiot, but he goes, she doesn't really hear much when we try to tell her stuff.
Sure.
She just doesn't hear spirit at all.
Yeah, she's not spiritual at all.
She doesn't hear it. She doesn't hear it at all. And they go, after a while, they can't interfere with free will. If she doesn't want to hear it, you know, they can't bang her on the head. So, you know, know that they're trying and that you were a very good daughter. Your mother and father are thanking you for all you did for them. And you sacrificed a lot of your life to take care of them. And they
Oh, yes. And I felt that they knew it. But, you know, that's also my nature. I help anybody and everybody. My sister calls me a street angel. Like, you know, like I think that she thinks that I could have did more for her. But, you know, I had a little health issue and she wasn't available for me, you know. And
right.
I shouldered both my parents, you know. And I'm talking like going back and forth to doctors and everything. My father was blind in one eye and it was very hard, as you could imagine. So my conscience is very clear, you know.
What your mother says. Just make sure you do what you think is right in your heart so your conscience will always be clear. And that's all. We're responsible for our behaviors, not other people. So if we do what's right and they choose to do what's wrong, that's their choice. But we still have to do what we think is right. And you're the kind of person, you'll keep reaching out there. You know, maybe one day she'll be more receptive. But until then, just know you're doing what your parents would want you to do.
And with him, with his health, he didn't, like, watch it as closely as he should have years ago. I think he put other things in front of his own health, his wife's health, you know, because she wasn't well. And him, too. He could have been a lot more attentive to my parents, you know. But I do call him, you know, and it's a little bit complicated further with me with him. But at least I get along with him. Like with my sister, I got to watch what I say to her. Whereas with him, I could call him up and have a few laughs. And, you know, it's a different type of a conversation. Yes, I do want to visit him, you know. But, like, you know, I feel bad because when it's holidays, I don't get invitations from these people. I don't know why. I mean, even if he stays home, it's like, you know, he's. I think he's in a very bad state of depression also, just
yes,
like my sister.
Yeah, that's why I said you can't really help people like that. You can only, you know, be there for them, but, you know, don't take their make their problems be yours at this point. You know, don't do that because depression is contagious, so don't hang around them too much, okay?
Yeah.
Very contagious.
Somebody said to me I may be the last person standing out of the three of them.
That's what I'm seeing here, too. So,
and I kind of get that feeling, and, you know, we're all, I'm 62, but we're all, like, you know, coming, like, towards the home stretch, I guess.
Right, of course.
I don't know. You know.
Well, we'll hope that you have a very nice long life, and we are at the end of our show, and they're going to shut us off in 30 seconds. So let's say goodnight, Pat. Thanks for, like, hitting the button to talk to us. It was your night to get through, and we're so glad we talked. Nicole,
thank you
for everything. Everybody, happy 4th of July. We will see you on July 11th. Good night,
thank
everybody.
You. Yes,
good night,
ma'am. Thank you for taking my call. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Bye.
Good night. Good night.